Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for the exhortation our brother has given. Lord, oh Father God, the Bible says, you know, a man is snared by the word of his mouth. Teach us to speak the word only. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And, oh Lord God, and we thank you for this part of the service also, Lord. Lord, I don't want to forget that we shall have whatsoever we say. To speak God's word, and the Lord only confirms his word. Bible says they went and they preached everywhere. And the Lord confirming the word with signs following. Maybe why the signs are not following many preaching because they don't preach the word. So help us understand that exhortation even going forward this new year, Lord. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. So this other part, Lord, bless your word as we read it also again now. In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, quickly, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank God for bringing us to the beginning of a new year. As it has been his faithfulness, like the other song that I said, on the scripture say, if it had not been the Lord, where would I have been? You know? So it has been the grace of God. So, just quickly, the redemption of Christ, it no far exceeds sin forgiveness. You know, that is what parades the mind of a Christian all the time. The forgiveness of sins, for which we thank the Lord. That is just the beginning of his redemption, to bring us back into fellowship with God. You see, that is what forgiveness of sins say. Even it said in the Bible, it said that forgiveness and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, right? That is the beginning to draw us back to that Lord's fellowship, you know, in the garden and things like that. So, but this morning, we want to talk about the other thing that he has done for us, which are volumes and volumes and volumes of books. So let's clarify the first part. Now, sin manifests itself in three ways. Sin manifests itself in three ways. One, in thought. Two, in act. Your action, and number three, in nature. Let it be one by one, in thought. In Mark 7:21, the Lord said this, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceeded evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these evil things come from within and defy the man. You see? So, you know, that's the way things come. One of them is through the thought. And the Lord just says so. Now, how about the act? How about in John chapter 8, and they come to point a woman. Oh, Master, that is in John chapter 8, verse 4. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. So sin comes by the act of people. It comes by the thoughts, as the Lord said, and it comes by act also. In the very act, you see that? How about, in nature too? In nature, in Ephesians 2:1, God begins to remind the Christian, we have been before we accept our Lord Jesus Christ. And in verse 1 it says, talking about how things can come by nature, and you have it quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walk according to the cause of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And were by nature, you see that one, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we saw those three channels by which, you know, sin come and so on, by thought, by act, and by nature. Now, the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ is a complete transformation, completely, you know. God takes possession of a man changes his thoughts. You see that? Because that's where things come and so on. Changes his thoughts. And it's and a consequence, changing his thoughts, what happened? His acts will change too. See, because of, before you do anything, it comes from your heart, right? For your heart to think about it, right? You know? And he changes nature too. You know, when the Lord comes to a man and redeem him, and the man accepts the Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian is not a reformed man. No. A Christian is a man renewed. A man remade completely by the Spirit of God. A Christian is a man indwelt by God himself. That's why Christianity is never a religion. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Embodiment of God himself. God Almighty. That's why it's God, right? The creator, even he who inhabits eternity, he comes to you and dwells in you. I mean, even can a president so and so come to your room right now? Hardly, you know. But the God of glory, who inhabits eternity, now come and dwell in his people and make them his temple. That's God, you know. So anyway, so we see him right here. So a Christian is a man indwelt by God. The house of God, in fact, the tabernacle of the Most High. That is the child of God right there, you know, God's children. Being indwelt by God, you become the hands and the heart and the feet and the mind of Jesus Christ. As we are going to the new year, and I want to remind us, I said this thing. Yeah, we have to sing. It's a good thing. I love the man of Galilee. And so, forgive me all my sins. Praise God. That's just the beginning of your redemption. Amen. Praise the Lord. I mean, without that one, we can't even touch any of these other things. Praise the Lord Jesus. So anyway, so what you are saying is that let us begin to confess the other things that we just had right now, you know, the facts of our redemption. And the more you confess, then the more you become, you have to confess, to possess. Praise the Lord. It's already there for you. Anyway, so by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God descend into you. God Almighty descend into you. And you are sent into God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God descend into you. God Almighty come into you. And you are sent to God. That's what he does for you. And, you know, and that's how wondrous, brethren, how powerful, how miraculous the baptism of the Holy Ghost is. Wondrous salvation he has given us. And our wondrous Christ. A wondrous atonement that he has wrought for his people, you know. Man that was born, where am I coming from? Where is the race coming from? David said in Psalm 51, verse 5, I think, he said, man that was born in sin, shaping iniquity, now, by the redemption of Christ, is now forgiven, is now cleansed, purified, that's you and I in Christ, purified outside and inside, by the blood, the very precious blood of the living God. That's in Acts 20. About the blood of Jesus Christ. Because his deity is God. And may that person, you and I, his habitation, you become the dwelling place of God. See? That's who you are as a Christian. You know? And it was that man who was once created in the image of God and likeness of God. Now, that same man, after being redeemed, become the dwelling place of God. What transformation. See? What forgiveness. What pardon. What mercy. You know? That is what the atoning blood of our Lord Jesus Christ provided. See? You become the very, very dwelling place of God. We are Bible for all these things. Yes. Galatians 3:13, which every Christian even when it tap you on your belly, you will know it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, these are your possessions now, your inheritance in Christ, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That's your standing, that's my standing. See? That scripture reveals to us that the Son of God did not only come to save men from sin, from their sins, but also for us now to become his very habitation, the habitation of God. Let's see Ephesians 2:22 say the same thing in a deeper way. In whom, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ, ye also are builded together for an holy habitation of God through the Spirit. God dwelling in you through His Spirit. You are the habitation of God. God says so, and that's what God has made you and I to be as a believer, as a Christian. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, what? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? I'm always been thankful that God has said, I'm not my own. I'm God's property, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, God's property. For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. In John 14, even as a bait to us, when we are being wooed to Christ. And here is what I gave us in John 14:23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We dwell in him. Amen? The bait that he gave us. And not just only bait. And in the truth, that's what we are. That's what he's doing not today. Whether you feel it or not and so on. You know, whether I say it has nothing to do with feeling. If God says so, and it's in you. In one place, that Christ might dwell in your heart by faith. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. If you are worried, I don't care. You don't have to feel anything. Praise God. See? It's by faith. I mean, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. So we see that right here. And, you know, so we see in 1 Corinthians, Now, John 14:23, which I just read now. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Colossians 1:27 says, to whom God will make known. This is a mystery. They are all together a mystery that God is dwelling in you. It's all together a mystery. And even the Gentiles in particular, you know. And to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you know how joyful you will be if you and I can realize, or like we are told, meditating and so on, that Christ is in you, that you are not alone? He says in John 8:16, he said it in John 16:32, I believe it is. You know, even the other say, I'm not alone. See? Well, you're not alone. You'll be so emboldened, you know, and so on. We were confronted, of course, yes. But you're not able to be a winner, isn't it? Because when that says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're being confronted is what? To give the testimony of the Almighty, to testify for Christ. And when you stand your ground, so you see, so when that is in you, you can walk boldly. And back with the righteous and so on shall be bold as a lion, right? See? Like your father, the lion of the tribe of Judah, amen. He be so bold. Praise God. Now, so God's purpose in coming down from heaven and dwelling in you and me by His Spirit is to transform me and you into the very nature of God. 2 Peter 1:4. Whereby I give it unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by this ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through love. Now, talking about many other things that is done for us over and above the forgiveness of sin. So the Lord Jesus said himself, he said, ye are God. And they were mad, right? In John 10:34. Because he said, because I'm the Son of God. But what said the scripture? Ye are God, you know. And I always like this one about a man called Moses, you know, in the Bible. And in the Old Testament, he was a prophet of God, because he himself wrote, the Lord God shall raise up a prophet like unto myself. That was Moses said, was a prophet, right? And at the beginning of his commission, God said one thing he has never said to any other man that I know of in the old Bible, you know. And you know, you go back and so on, your brother Aaron, I mean, you know, he's an orator, you know, because he was complaining, though, you know, I can't speak, you know, I'm throwing fish and so on, you know. God said, just go. I will be with your mouth. And see what he said in number you know, in Exodus 4:16. See, I want to the man. And he, meaning Aaron, shall be their spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even, he shall be to thee instead of a mouth. Now, hear this. And thou shalt be to him instead of God. Moses was to be God. That's capital G right there. Not just small G, right? Capital G. Moses was to be God to Aaron. Praise the Lord. See? Now, so, over and above the salvation from sin, the purpose of God in Jesus Christ was to take a man and make a Christ out of him. That's who you are. Take that man, sinner and so on, like you and I, me, and so on and that, you know, and then, you know, and make Christ out of that person. To take a sinner, wash him pure, these are the purposes of God, over and above forgiveness of sin. Make that man pure, white, and clean in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then come into his life, like I've been saying before, in the Holy Ghost, and anoint him with his spirit. Begin to speak through that person. He speaks through you and I, because you are God's children, right? These are the purposes of God. This is what he has done for us over and above being forgiven our sins. Speak through you and me. Live in you, live in me. Change the substance of your spirit before it was born again. Change the substance of your body, even your body, yes sir, until your body and mind is the blood and the bones and the flesh of, of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you think of anything like that? I don't have a Bible for that. So all of these things, because that of Christ, Ephesians 5 has to tell us this. For we are members of his body, right? Of his flesh and of his bones, over and above forgiveness of sin, become the very members of the body of Christ and of his flesh and of his bones. And 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. See? Our intimacy, what he has done for us in this redemption, when we take weeks and weeks to preach, what he has done for us over and above the forgiveness of sin, that's just an invitation to come, bring us into the fellowship. And again, over and above the salvation from sin, God's purpose is that the true church should be the embodiment of the living, blessed Son of God. That is, God not living in just one temple called Jesus, but God is living in multitudes of temples made up of the bodies of believers. Yes, he came here, not Jesus Christ. Bible said that he may bring many sons into glory, right? When he came here, that he came in the flesh, in the Lord Jesus Christ, thereby bringing many sons into glory. See? So, he is not living in many temples made up of bodies of believers, you and I, who are yielded to God in holy consecration. God's rich church, we are talking about here, not in name only, but in the power of God. See? Now, many members. This guy, God is very, many members, they are. But in one spirit, one divine structure of divine faith and substance. Men transformed and women transformed, transfigured and transmuted into the nature, the glory, and the substance of Christ. Ephesians 2:32 says so, in whom ye also are bidden together, I keep on saying that, are bidden together for an habitation of God through the Spirit, the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, I see all of these people in one spirit, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into that one spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost of promise. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both, all of us, be it Jew or Gentile, by Christian, both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. And in one place, he said by him we have boldness and access to the throne of God. I can't just call President Biden right now. I can call the Creator of Biden right now, you know?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. That's how wonderful it is. The Almighty God. No man can be so humble like that. You know, the Lord says, learn of me. You know, I'm meek and lowly in heart. Right? What he says, you know, and you find rest for your soul. See, no, learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You know, so, anyway. Now, there are different concepts. People talk about being good, being good, being good. And there are many different concepts today about being good out there. Even in Bible days, there are concepts about what is good. What is good? At one time in Matthew 19, I will read that. Because, you know, so in Matthew 19, 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? He thought by doing some good things he can have eternal life. Here is what the master said. Even the Lord himself said, and he said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good. See that? So those who are thinking they are good. There is none good, but one, that is God. But if thou will enter into life, by looking for eternal life, then keep the commandments. The man, I think, was beating his chest, I think he got something. He said unto him, which commandment? Jesus said, thou shalt do no iniquity to the law of Moses. Shall do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor and thyself. And he read all those things to him and so on. And the young man said unto him, oh, all these things have I care for my youth up. What do I lack? Yes. And, Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Anyway, what I'm saying is this. People today, maybe the denomination, I'm good, I'm that, and so on. I send the choir. I give alms. Can you not give alms? You wasn't saved, right? Praise the Lord. You know, so, and, you know, Zacchaeus did many things, you know. He gave things to people and so on, that, you know, he wasn't saved. But bless God, the day he met Christ, he was saved, amen? So, bless the name of the Lord. So what is really good? So if God is only one that is good, and good you must be anyway, and only God can make you good, amen. And that's what Christ has done for us, amen. Praise the Lord. He has made us good. So, and the Lord's response teaches us that there is such a, that is much in a man's life besides being good in the eyes of man. You know, if it's to fulfill God's destiny, you know, in his own life. Since only God is good, and one must necessarily be good, only God can make man good. And here is how God begins to make you good. Number one, God's first purpose is to make man good by removing the consciousness of sin from man, from the soul. That is the first step, yes. You know, forgiveness is very, very important. Remove from you the consciousness of sin. You know, very, very important. An average child of God battles with this all the time. Sin consciousness ought not to be so. You know, when describing and comparing in the book of Hebrews, the new covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the old one, with all they did, right, they still had remembrance of sin. All that means to us, it means being washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shouldn't be like that, right? We shouldn't have remembrance of sins anymore. Praise the Lord. That is what God is saying right there, you know. So that is one perfect his sacrifice and so on. You know, that he has given to us and so on. We shouldn't be having for, you know, consciousness of sin anymore. And also, one scripture, in 1 Corinthians, I believe it is 1:30. Why? Because Christ is our righteousness. Amen? Praise God. Our righteousness. Bible says, those who will forgive you. In another place, then he called. Those whom he called, then, he justified them, right? And those who he justified, he sanctified. And those, that he glorified them. What's justification? It's like, I never did it before. Amen? And that's how God sees us in Christ. Praise the Lord. Why don't we just dwell upon all the other things that he has done for us? Well, of course, we're not condoning sin and say, I'm forgiving you, I can go and be sinning. No. People doing that is just like that to be their salvation again, you know. Praise the Lord. So now, removing from, consciousness of sin, removing from us. Why? In order that we may grow up into God and fulfill the great purpose that God has in store for you and me, meaning becoming a son of God in mind, in nature, in power, and capacity to bless. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, that's what he has done for you and me. See? Now, let's see. God, in Jesus Christ, wants to begin in the life of a man, in the source of man, that marvelous development in the nature of man, in the mind, and in the understanding of God, our Father. You see, until by the grace of God, we are able to take our proper place and our part in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ and bear our own share of responsibility in the work of the kingdom. Praise the Lord. Can you see now how far above forgiveness of sin? That is just our invitation to Him, to restore fellowship. This other high calling, there's a high calling of God in Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. A high calling of God in Christ. See? And that's what you'll be pursuing, all the day. Now, that we should grow up into manhood and womanhood in God and take a place in this world and accomplish the thing that God intended us to accomplish and fellowship with Him on His plane of understanding. Fellowship with God in God's own plane of understanding. Praise the Lord. That is the high calling of God, see? Ephesians, let's put a scripture here. Ephesians 4:13, I think going up to him, right? Here is the will of God, a higher calling. Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, you see that one? Knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Unto the measure, here is where we are going, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See? Over and above being forgiven sins and so on, you see, growing up unto Him in all things, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, speaking the truth in love, verse 15, may grow up unto Him in all things. That is the target, amen?
Amen.
Thank God for our preacher, our pastor, but to grow up and every prophet and so on, we endeavor to achieve this purpose, right? Make you grow up unto the Lord Jesus Christ in all things. Amen? Their message will make you grow up into Christ in all things. See, because they are just pointers. A true prophet is a pointer to Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Which is the head, even Christ. So that is our only ambition. The precious Holy Spirit of God in you and me was not given. You see, people think that the Holy Ghost was given for entertainment. Oh, I speak in tongues. Oh, we thank God for that, You see what I'm saying? Even some people make a doctrine out of it or a denomination out of it and so on, If you don't speak in tongues, you can't come to their fellowship and things like that, So anyway, so thank God, it's a gift of God and things like that, So it wasn't provided for a means of spiritual entertainment in our soul. For entertainment, God has a greater purpose than, the Holy Ghost in you, me being an entertainment and so on. God's purpose is that your spirit be tuned to heaven, see? Your heart capable of hearing and realizing the songs of glory See, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, you can sing, you sing in spirit too, right? Praise the Lord.
Mm.
You know, sing because you know a new song, right? And the Bible says the Holy Ghost to share the love of God that brought in our heart. He has many functions in our life, you know, as we allow him to do. He helps our infirmities. Let him know how to pray as we ought to. You know, he said the things which are of Christ. And then he revealed them to us, right? When he comes, the Bible says, the Lord Jesus says, he won't speak of himself, he will speak of me. You see? He shall glorify me. All he says, praise the Lord. See? The functionality of the Holy Spirit, not for entertainment like we see in some of the people of the churches today. So, are you appreciating the companionship of God? You see? And feeling the flames of his divine love. The Holy Ghost will do all that for you, you know. See, you appreciate the companionship of the Lord Jesus. No, you're not alone, right? So enjoy the companionship. No matter where you are, you know. So it's companionship. And feeling the flames of his divine love. And you and I expressing and revealing to the hungry world that knows not God. You can't bottle Christ, amen? Praise the Lord. You cannot bottle Christ. You got to express it, amen? I mean, look at when somebody gets saved, I mean, the first thing you want to do is to go and tell other people, right? Praise the Lord. You can't just shut your mouth up, you know, like our brother was saying, you know. Now, Christ's purpose, Christ's purpose in you and I is to reveal himself to you. You know, there are many, many purposes. I'm just picking on some of them. To reveal himself to you, reveal himself through you. Not only to you, but through you. And reveal himself in you to other people. Even the great apostle said so in Galatians 1:15. You know what I'm talking about right now. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, look at the next verse, to reveal his son in me. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
That's what he called my life for. To reveal his son in me. That I might not only keep him to myself, but I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I confer not with flesh and blood. You see, so I was there to reveal himself in you, through you, and then through you to the other people. And here is a familiar scripture we all quote all the time in Ephesians 1:22. And has put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. You see? So over and above the salvation from sin, when the true church fully realizes the truth and the power of that phrase in the 23rd verse, that the church, which is the body, is the body, then when the whole church fully realizes that, this world will be a different world. Amen? When we know and we realize that this body of this church is the body, very body of Christ, you know, this world will never be the same again. And over and above the salvation from sin, when the true church realizes that she is a tangible, living, pulsating flesh and bones and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that God is manifesting himself through you, through me, through her, through the body of God, no, every minute. And God is endeavoring to accomplish his big will for the whole world through you, through me, through the body of Christ, not through any other means at all. Then Christian responsibility will be understood more than we do it today. Praise the Lord Jesus. You know, today, over and above the salvation from sin, understand, brethren, that Jesus Christ operates through you. You see? And he does not operate independently of you. No. He operates through you and me. Man and God become united. That is the divine secret of a real Christian life. See? Man and God become united. It is the real union. The real conscious union of man and God. We have to live in the consciousness that Christ is in you, you know. So you are united with Christ. In fact, there is many, many scriptures we can go into here. John 15:5 says, I am divine to show you your oneness with Christ. See how good we will be if this angel remains in us and we meditate upon it day and night and put that filter that our brother talked about in it upon our mind and let only this one be there. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. See, one with Christ. I like that one in your life. I don't have it here. Your very life is in Christ with God. Amen. Amen. Can you see the union? You can't even separate it. Only no, cannot. You can't separate it. You know. So in one place, I don't have it here. We are planted in the palm of His hand. Amen. I see nobody can block us out of there. So God did not make, now after saying all these things, God did not make you and I an automaton or a cog in the wheel. See, didn't do that. You know, just programmed to be like a robot. No, that's not God's will. You know, and we are free moral agents. So God has a higher purpose than making us an automaton or a cog in the wheel. God's highest is to bring out all the qualities of God in your own soul, to bring out all the individuality that is in your life, not to submerge or destroy it, but to change it, to energize it, to enlarge it, until all your individuality and personality and being are of the nature and substance and quality of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what the Holy Ghost is coming to do, has come to do in us, if we will let Him. That's why the Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit that has come to you, that I receive of God. Lastly here, the word Christ means the Messiah, right? It means the anointed one. That's what Christ means. And you know, and we read. So yes, He's the anointed one. You know, and we even brother Peter. At the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, preaching to him, 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The anointed one, the Messiah, that's whom Christ is. Now, drive back to you and I. See, He has God. You know, that in everything, you know, He fashions like Himself. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God anointed you and I. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Because look at 1 John 2:27. But the anointing, you see that one, which ye have received of Him, abideth in you. So you see that the anointed, like Christ was anointed, right? The same anointing, the same Holy Ghost, that's not the Holy Ghost. But Peter said in Acts 15, what they're trying to make the Gentiles Christians to do and come and do that, do the law of Moses. Look, brethren, this same Gentile received the same Holy Ghost you and I received, right? So, but the anointing which ye have received of Him abideth in you. It's in you, it's in me. Don't ignore it, don't neglect it. Take advantage of it by submission. See? And that's what he says. You are anointed by the power of God. It's in you, whether you feel or not. And you need not that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you, the Holy Ghost comes to teach you, right? Of all things. And it's truth. And, you know, it's not lie. This anointing that is in you, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. And even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in Him. Amen. Praise the Lord. The purpose of God dwelling in us, not for entertainment, no. Is to make you a master. Amen? Master of circumstances. You know? The rich child of God was to be a master over every overpower of darkness in this world. That is the purpose of the Holy Ghost coming. Luke 10:19 told us, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. These are all the satanic representations, right? And over all, I like that one, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you. See, when we are going through trouble, and we remember all these things, or the devil come against us, you know, many struggles, thank God for, you know, receive the devil, he will flee from you, amen? So praise the Lord Jesus. We will go and have a encounter, you know by now, but you have, He has given you all power over all the power of the enemy. No matter what power he brings to come and attack you, you have power above that. In one place, greater is He. See that one? That Christ inside of you. That He that is in the world. So what is the fear? Now, okay. The power of darkness was to be subject to you and me as a Christian. Even while they were here, in Luke 10:17, the verses before that one, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. That is the key, right? Through thy name. Now, don't forget, as we go into this year and every other day, you are God's representative in this world. Amen? Amen. I say you are God. How did you say it? The Bible says so in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Amen? Amen. See? We are God's representative in this world. So, you have to conduct yourself, how to carry yourself, you know, and something like that, you know, as God's representative and ambassador. The Holy Ghost in the Christian was to be as powerful, as the same Holy Ghost that was in Christ. Indeed, it is so true. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ go to such an extreme, so to say, I've seen that in John 14:12, we know that one all the time. I wish you can just eat it every day. And before you know it, we'll be acting that way by the grace of God. Amen? Amen. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, what that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than this shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So this indicates that how powerful the mighty Holy Ghost from heaven, who is in you and me, who lives in you and me, was to be after the Lord Jesus returned to heaven, right? And he ministered the Holy Ghost to us. You say he did? Yes. In Acts 2:32 we are told, this Jesus has God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this. Set it upon you and I, filled up with the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, it all began. They are in a room. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven, you know, and they filled all the house where they were sitting. They appeared unto them, cloven tongues, like as of fire. Sat upon every one of them. And they were all, he shared for the Holy Ghost, right? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And began to speak with other tongues, not by themselves, as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's what has happened to you and I. See? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, God's divine purpose in our Lord Jesus Christ is not to whitewash a man or the soul of a man, no, but to charge my character, your character, transmute, meaning change our life, and he has done it, you know. They call us new life as right, you know, by the grace of God. His divine purpose was to make us kings and priests, make us deliverers and saviors in common with the Lord Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Yes, sir. It's our elder brother. It's our Father. It's everything to us. Yeah, we think it's our everything, right? It's our Heavenly Father. It's our brother. It's our friend. He himself says so. I call you no more servant, right? But he are my friend. So that's what it is. No, our elder brother. Revelation 1:5. Unto him that, I'm finishing that, that loved us and washed us from our sins. See, that is the first phase. That is the first of our redemption, right? You know, in his own blood. Now, over and above, wash us from our sins, they look at them, and the conjunction there has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So my brother and sister, if I am a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are a brother of the Lord Jesus Christ and so forth.
One family.
Praise the Lord. So in Romans 8:16, these are the closing verses. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Right? And if children, then we are heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Can you see I can be our elder brother right here? Praise the Lord. We are joint heirs with Christ. Hebrews 2:11. For both he that sanctifies and they who are sanctified are all of one. Who sanctified but the Lord Jesus himself, right? And we are the ones that sanctify are of one. For which cause he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Amen? Praise the Lord. See? No, and God is good. So, the same purpose that is revealed in Christ is God's high purpose for you and I too. You know, the same purpose. Yeah? And the source of our life, is the same source of life that Christ had when he came to this world. So, the Bible says in Colossians 3:4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Amen? That's what Enoch prophesied in Genesis. Behold, the Lord coming with thousands and thousands of his saints. Why? Because he first of all life showed us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, I go to another scripture here and then I close. 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. That's where in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose, see, over and above forgiveness of sins, see, the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. In 1 John 3:8, for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the work of the devil. What are those? Sin, sickness, and death are doomed. They are doomed. Yes. No. By the decree of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he did it for us, Sin, sickness, and death are the devil's triumvirate, just like the Antichrist system. The beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist and so on, triumvirate of evil, right? So the same thing, So it's sin, sickness, and death are devil's triumvirate. Heaven is the absence of this triple cause. Heaven is sinlessness. Heaven is sicknessness. And heaven is deathlessness. Amen? Praise the Lord. None of these things exist in heaven at all. Not one. And Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had a part of death, that is the devil. Praise the Lord. Oh, I like it why he said that, he said, and me that liveth and was dead, behold, am I forever now. And I have the keys of hell and of death. When Satan touched me with death, you don't have the key of death, Satan. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus has the keys of hell and of death. So you can come and touch me and so that I rebuke you. Did you know the spirit of death? You bind him. Whatsoever you bind on, I shall be bound in heaven. Now the Bible says, praise the Lord. All in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject into bondage. Last scripture, 2 Timothy 1:19. Meaning the Lord Jesus Christ here, who has saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, before Lucifer was created. Amen? Praise the Lord. Before the world began. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to lie through the gospel. This is the ultimate of Christ's redemption. Praise the Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, open the ear up, Lord. Lord, put us in remembrance, Lord, of our inheritance, of our Lord Jesus Christ, of our rights and privileges. The rest of our privileges in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the redemption that has given us. Lord, we thank you and we worship you, Lord. Thank you for all you have done for us, Lord. We glorify your name. Lord, oh God, as we go, let us meditate upon these things, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. We shall go forth as cart of the store. And the wicked shall be like ashes, not the sole of our feet. in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We shall need to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. That glory shall be seen upon us. It shall be given to us as a reward, the glory of the Lord. Now, the light of the Lord is upon us. We never walk in darkness. We have the light of life. Lord, we thank you. Oh, our job as we go about is to that may help other men to see this light, Lord. Lord, the light of our Lord Jesus Christ upon us and glorify your name. We thank you, Father, for you have gone before us in the angel of your presence, Lord, to comfort us on every side, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we shall continue to glorify your name. And Lord, above all things, Lord, a year has gone by now, Lord. We are at least one more year closer to the coming of the Lord. Lord, we will not forget your instruction. Worship therefore and pray always. Cancel the worry. Just keep the tummy. The gathering storms are on the way right now upon the state of this world. Now the sea and the waves are running, Lord, just as you predicted. Nations are in perplexity as we are talking right now, exactly as you spoke it, Lord. When you see these things, lift up your head. Our redemption draweth nigh. May we not be of them who drop their head, Lord. And being sorrowful and being sad and so on. He said, when you see this thing, you will not be sorrowful, but rejoice. See, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Help us to be awake, Lord, doing the work of the Master. And Lord, God, telling every man we can, what hope is in us. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.